fire chief shows, it does, you know, does, we respect that.
Thank you.
Do we know if the first letter is?
It has not shown up, but Brent, the appellant for Greenwich has shown up. Yeah.
So case.
How about what number?
How about 12?
Oh, number 10.
10 showed up.
12 has not shown up.
Okay.
But number 4, 23795, Glastonbury.
Yep.
Waterbury's the Waterford. Waterford's not going anywhere.
Yeah, they can wait a while.
Would you identify yourself for the record, sir?
Yes, good morning, Marshall Porter, police chief, and issuing authority for the appellant, Glastonbury.
And attorney Sherman.
Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant. Good morning.
Good morning. Chief?
Good morning, yes. Thank you for the opportunity to appear today. I did deny the appellant's application based on suitability after a background investigation revealed that the appellant had previously been involved in serious firearms-related offenses. And although the applicant was granted a pardon and thus has no criminal conviction on record, I relied on information that was readily available and open source information and corroborated by Department of Corrections records and by a document submitted by the appellant related to the offenses in question. So in denying the permit, on suitability, I considered all of those facts and provide some additional detail to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Attorney Sherman?
I'll pass, but.
Then Chief, you may go ahead with your case.
Okay, thank you. So a background was conducted on the applicant based on his application for a pistol permit. And a review of records revealed that the applicant had been previously in the custody of the Department of Corrections in 2000 for a conviction of a criminal attempt to commit assault in the second degree. And although the conviction has since been pardoned, additional information was obtained through an open source article from the Hartford Courant, which was again corroborated with Department of Correction records and then again corroborated with a letter that was supplied by the appellant to the commission for this hearing. Specifically, the article referred to an incident in East Hartford where the applicant was identified as the driver in a case where he drove several other individuals to Hartford to purchase alcohol and then drove them to a residence in East Hartford after drinking the alcohol, and one of the occupants of the car fired 3 rounds into an occupied residence, occupied by a 16-year-old victim who had been in a confrontation with some of the folks in the car. Nobody was injured, apparently, in the incident, but the victim, the 16-year-old victim, was home with I believe three other parties. The suspect was ultimately arrested with several others, and according to the article, the appellant had also been in court just prior to this drive-by shooting incident for another firearms-related offense where he was apparently in a vehicle with one of the same subjects who was with him on the night of the drive-by shooting. The article also referenced the applicant was alleged to be associated with a Manchester-based street gang at that time, and that he was apparently granted a special form of probation by the judge at that time for the first firearms-related offense. So given the serious nature of that past conduct and the circumstances surrounding those firearms-related offenses, I decided that the appellant was not a suitable candidate for a firearms
Attorney Sherman, do you have questions for him?
Thank you. Just a few questions, please, Chief. The incident you're referring to, the year is 2000, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, thank you. When you did a record check, you found that the appellant currently has no criminal record, right?
That's right.
Okay. Not for this or anything else, right?
That's correct. Okay.
And nothing in Glastonbury?
Correct.
Nothing further?
Do you have any questions for the chief?
Do the Department of Corrections records show that he spent time in prison? Or should he?
They do.
How, what are those dates, or how long is that?
He was sentenced, it looks like, to 2 years and 6 months. Looks like May 17th, 2000, sentenced. I'd have to spend a little time trying to figure out how long he was incarcerated.
Yeah, I just
wondered. The records do indicate he was.
Yeah, I just wondered if he was incarcerated. Obviously, I'd like to know the exact ones, but the is it more than just the pre-trial detention? It was a conviction, then jail time? That's
he was convicted.
And then sentenced to actual time rather than probation? Or
and then did receive a pardon.
He's agreeing with you, just. He's shaking his head up and down. Yeah, that's accurate.
He'll testify.
I have the dates if you want.
Okay. I just thought he would have them too. Okay. I mean, we'd have them, I think, here too, but it's hard to figure out.
Yeah, it's a little hard to decipher DOC's documents. But he was incarcerated and subsequently.
So incarcerated pre conviction and post conviction?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks. He'll apparently have the dates.
And Chief, just sort of for the record, and maybe if I'm wrong, correct me, just based on the record, it looks like start serving sentence was August of 2000, and it looks like dispatched to special parole supervision was around November of 2002?
I was arrested in May. That's when I actually started my, well, I got sentenced in August, that's what it was, basically.
Yep.
By the way, I was released in November of 2002.
That's okay. So that matched up with it.
A little bit more than 2 years.
And then 2 years of special parole afterwards.
Other questions for the chief? Attorney Sinetti, you're looking like you have a question.
No, for the appellant.
Oh, okay. Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to question the appellant. Tell the board, please, how old are you now?
43.
So when you were arrested for this case in 2000, how old were you, 18?
18, yes, sir.
Currently working?
Yes, sir, I'm Pratt Whitney.
What do you do?
I'm a machinist, aerospace machinist.
Machinist? How long have you been doing that type of work?
About 15 years.
How'd you learn to be a machinist?
My buddy, his father was a supervisor at a company. They asked me if I needed a job, I said yes.
Okay. And how long at your current employer, Pratt?
I've been there 2 years, a little over 2 years. So.
Okay. And family, children?
Three kids, one girl.
Okay. Your kids are grown?
Yes, sir. A 24-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 14-year-old.
Okay. Thank you. The incident that the chief talked about in 2000, when you think back on that incident, how do you feel about it?
Definitely the worst decision I've ever made in my life. Very remorseful, but,
Let me ask you a different way.
Okay.
25 years since you were in trouble, right?
Yes, sir.
How can you stop getting in trouble?
Definitely prison. Scared of shit. Excuse my language. Scared life out of it, yeah.
All right, it's a sincere feeling.
Yeah.
So you don't want to repeat that experience?
No, not something I want to deal with again.
Did you change your friends?
Yes.
When's the last time you would have been considered a gang member?
Probably when I Probably when I got arrested.
In 2000?
Yes, sir.
And you testified you did serve a little more than 2 years, actually,
yeah,
and then special parole.
2.5 years.
Okay. And when did you get the pardon?
I want to say 2 years ago. A little over 2 years ago, maybe.
So you got the pardon and then applied for the permit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I think I waited about 6 months.
Okay. Thank you. I have nothing further.
Do you have questions for the appellant?
I do. So the letter that you included for the hearing dated November 20th, 2021, that's from a friend of yours?
That's which letter is your
letter?
Oh, that's actually from the victim in the case.
Okay. And you asked him to submit the letter in support of your pardon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And are you still friends with him?
We are today, yes.
Okay. Have you asked him to write an updated letter?
I did not.
To address your suitability to
I did not. No, I didn't even think about it until I met with him, and at that point, we really didn't have the time.
Did you consider asking him to come today to testify on your behalf?
I did not. I didn't know I was able to bring him with me.
So I'll draw your attention to the Hartford Current article. Did you have the opportunity to review it?
I did.
And in the interest of time, is everything in this accurate with regards to your involvement
yes,
in
sir.
that shooting incident?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm not disputing any of that.
Can you explain for us the circumstances surrounding the first gun-related incident that's referenced in the article?
Okay, well, what I don't understand exactly.
The article references that prior to this shooting incident, you had been in Manchester Superior Court before Judge George Simon, who had recently granted you and another, I'm assuming arrestee, a special form of probation on another gun possession charge.
We were in a stolen car and we got pulled over and they found the gun, not on myself. I was granted accelerated rehabilitation, and I didn't complete that. That's when I caught the next case. And that's where we
so are. You were arrested for that incident?
Yes, I was.
Were you an adult at the time you were arrested?
No. Do you remember that date? I don't know the exact date that person.
It doesn't reference a date. It says that.
I may have been 18, but I could have been also 17.
Back then, was it 16? What was an adult back in 99?
Moving target.
I don't know.
Nope.
It's always up to
back then, 17 would have been a youthful offender.
Well, you could be adjudicated a youthful offender, yeah. But now it's a juvenile, but you would still be treated as an adult at 17 at some point. I don't know. Yeah.
But if he got
I use my AR,
the AR program, it doesn't really matter.
Which clearly means he was an adult.
Probably.
Because you wouldn't get an AR as a juvenile.
But sometimes people come out of court and they say AR, and really what they mean is YO.
Well, again, that would mean you're an adult, too. That's not a juvenile.
No, well, the YO was 16, 17. The category in between.
Yeah.
It was, but it was something you get arrested, you go to court, they determine they're going to give you this youthful offender status, but you were still an adult at that point. Then after a certain amount of time, it's a race. Similar to an AR.
Right.
But by age.
But then after 21, you could still use your AR.
Okay. But regardless, so at the time, he was an adult by law, but now he would probably not be.
I'm not sure it matters.
I don't know if it matters either.
I just have a couple more questions. So with regards to the reference letter, are you aware of the author having any experience or expertise in training and evaluating suitability to carry a firearm?
I would guess not.
I have no further questions.
Questions from the board?
How long have you lived in Glastonbury?
About 10 years.
10 years. Own your own home?
Yes.
And you've been at Pratt for?
A little over 2 years.
And where'd you work before Pratt?
Chemmatics. That's out in Bloomfield.
Command.
I'm sorry.
And same?
Same field, yeah.
Yep, machinist?
Yep.
So you, how long have you been a machinist then?
About 15 years.
That's all I have.
This may not be your doing, but I was curious going through the file. When you file the application to appeal, there's a declaration at the end of that. The declaration says you're going to tell the truth and the answers are true and correct to the best of your knowledge. It's interesting. You didn't sign that. The notary signed in the place where you were supposed to do that.
Oh, yeah. On the application?
Yes.
Yes, I noticed that. That was
okay. I mean, it's a minor point, but I'm just curious. You know why that happened that way?
I must have missed it.
Okay.
The notary.
As the chair said, your testimony here is under oath. And
oh, okay, yeah. I must have just missed it.
Yeah, I figured it's probably the notary screw up, but I just wanted you to understand, as I think you do, that that was all truth and true and correct to the best of your knowledge. Okay, thank you.
Can you describe any police contact since your release?
I haven't even had a ticket since. The only time I did have contact was when I called the police in Glastonbury when my car got burglarized.
So the conversation age, I don't want to go there, serious juvenile offense or as an adult, a firearms charge and conviction is taken. I take that very serious, especially in these types of discussions. Recognizing it's been 22 years, your testimony under oath, you haven't had any police contact, haven't been subject to an investigation or arrest, let me say arrest specifically, in over 20 years. No.
Correct.
Okay. 25 years.
25 years.
Since 2020.
Okay.
I'm sorry, since 2000.
2000.
No. When he was 17 or 18.
Maybe yes. 70.
All right. Thank you.
I just have a question for the issue of authority. I think we can all see that it looks like this is obviously very serious, hugely serious thing. The appellant admits to it. And it involves a firearm, and there's two cases involving firearms and stolen cars. However, he has no criminal record at this point. Is there any point that you would feel he's suitable, or is that disqualifying for life? Because it's 25 years. Is 30 years going to be okay or not? I don't know that you can answer that. I would answer that as the issue.
I mean, I consider each case on its merits when it's in front of me. To your points, two very serious cases that right now, it's certainly, in my opinion, is a suitability issue.
Well, it's suitability because the conviction was overturned. If it or pardoned, had it not been pardoned, it wouldn't be here because it would be statutory. You'd be convicted felon.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, a pardon erases the conviction, but it obviously doesn't erase the conduct leading up to the conviction. And I just have serious concerns over prior gang affiliation, admittedly, and obviously prior admission of the involvement of both of these gun-related incidents.
Actually, we haven't heard your summary yet.
We're good. They need to do their
closing statements. Right.
So I would
sorry.
Not. You can go first. The appellant.
You're right. You go first.
Thank you.
Well, I think the facts are pretty black and white. There isn't really any dispute about the facts, and I don't think there's any dispute about the seriousness of what. Young man, he did 25 years ago. I think the question is whether, after 25 years and after a pardon from the state of Connecticut, this should still be held against him. I'm wondering why, because the main reason that we keep criminal records is that they're the best way of predicting who's going to commit a crime in the future. And we're talking about somebody who committed something relatively serious back at an age when, as we've discussed many times in front of this board, we all know, particularly in men, that part of your brain that gives you some decent judgment is very far from being fully formed. He gave a great, I mean, he's been totally candid and sincere the whole time, but I mean, when I asked him about why haven't you been in trouble again, it's a very plain way of being in trouble again. It corrected him, the Department of Correction. Good. Doesn't work for everybody, but it worked this time. I think the probability of him creating a problem, whether it was with a gun or parking in a no parking zone, is about as great as our having a blizzard this afternoon. In fact, the reason he's here in front of this board, the reason he got his parking, he's trying to do things the right way. It's very simple. He's raised a family, he's trying to do things the right way, he's trying to get a permit and do things the proper way. That's all. Thank you.
And your statement.
I do applaud the appellant for his efforts in turning his life around and his family. But the fact remains that despite the pardon, he was involved in two very, very serious firearms incidents, one of which resulted in three rounds being fired into an occupied home. I guess by the grace of God, nobody was injured or killed in that incident, but to me, despite the time that's passed, it's such an awesome responsibility, a serious responsibility, that I can't overlook the fact that that conduct occurred, and I believe that he's not suitable to carry a firearm based on the totality of that information, and I respectfully request that the board uphold my decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a denial by the Glastonbury Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The denial is based on a 2000 incident in East Hartford in which the appellant was a driver of a vehicle in which the passenger fired three rounds into a home in a drive-by shooting in East Hartford. At the time, the appellant was on accelerated rehabilitation for a firearms charge. Due to the incident, he was arrested, convicted, spent approximately 2.5 years in prison for the charges, was released in November of 2022. The appellant received a pardon 2 to 3 years ago. In the last 23 years, although based on when he got out, because he couldn't do anything yet.
He wasn't released in 2002.
I mean, 2002. I'm doing
you
the same thing.
You did the same thing.
2002. I'm sorry. 2002. Yep, 2002. So in the last 23 years, the appellant has no police interactions. He's 43 years old. He's an aerospace machinist, worked at Pratt Whitney for the last 2 years, has three children, and no other incidents.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
This is one of those kinds of, to me, fence straddling cases. Normally I would say anybody involved in the drive-by shooting or with a prior firearms conviction, that's it. But here we have a guy who's been pardoned, and he was not the shooter, he was a driver, still a serious offense. The gun that was found in the car that put him on AR, he says, under oath, was not his gun. So yes, he's involved in the drive-by shooting, but he's not the drive-by shooter. He's made a very good impression here today, and it's been 25 years since all this happened. So that's kind of what I'm throwing up in the mix.
When the board chairman gives her opening statement, she says that we're going to hear the case de novo. And sometimes it'll happen that the issuing authority was correct in the initial denial. However, new evidence will come up before the board that would, in the issue of fairness, order have the board order the permit reinstated. I guess we have to decide, was any new evidence brought forward today? Because it seems the issuing authority and the appellant both agree on what happened. There were no new facts. And should we, in that case, err on the side of the issuing authority's judgment in his town? In his decision. I understand the other argument too, but I just, we have a chief who comes to be here today with a good investigation, has an opinion, nothing new came out, they had the hearing. That's what I got.
Comments, Chairman?
I just look to see if the appellant poses a risk to the public if he carried a firearm outside his place of business or home. I understand that we really appreciate the chief being here and his opinion on it, and it is very serious. But, you know, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. 23 years of pretty good past behavior, sort of telling for me.
Any other comments?
I take a slightly different position than the chief. I think the new information presented before the board was the appellant himself and more details about his subsequent life course. To me, that will influence my decision.
Other comments from the board?
I'll just say, I think someone's ability to turn their life around from a starting point in teenage years at some point to now tells a lot about their character and ability. And if I remember in courts, 25 years was considered life at a point in time. It's been a lifetime. So that's what weighs. I share the same. You're involved in a gun crime, and the answer would typically be no. But 25 years since an incident and no record or arrest is very telling.
Time for a vote. Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
For the appellant.
Colonel Overturk.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Attorney Chief Rosenstreich.
Appellant.
Chair is appellant.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Again, we appreciate you.
Of course.